Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us, once again, our very special guest, Eleanor Tatum. Eleanor is the publisher and editor-in-chief of the New York Amsterdam News, which is the oldest and largest Black newspaper in New York City and possibly the United States of America. And if I can go further, it's probably the largest in the world. Ms. Tatum was born and raised in New York City. After advanced studies in Sweden and Stockholm University, Ms. Tatum returned to New York in 1994 and joined her father, Wilbert Tatum, at the Amsterdam News. She was promoted to associate publisher and chief operating officer in 1996, appointed to her current position in 1997, becoming one of the youngest publishers in the history of Black press. Eleanor, welcome back to Reaching Out. Thank you so very much for agreeing to come on once again.
It is so good to be back here with you. It's so good to see you. And lots happened since I've been here with you last. And it's a different world we live in today.
Sure. We have COVID. We have lockdown. We have everything else. We have celebrities fighting celebrities on national TV doing an award show. We have everything going on.
It's a different world.
So March is Women's History Month, and February was Black History Month. But let's talk about Black women. We put the two together. Trailblazers that you look up to that are in the history books and some that should be in the history books. Do you have any advice or suggestions for girls and young women, perhaps, from your own experiences?
Well, let's start with giving props to some people that are out there right now that we have to talk about and look up to. One that's a huge friend of labor and a mentor of mine and somebody that we can all call a friend and who just celebrated a huge birthday, and that's Hazel Dukes.
I knew you were going to say Hazel Dukes. What a wonderful person. And I'll segue, when you mention Hazel, I'll tell you my Hazel story.
Tell us your Hazel story.
No. I want you to go first.
Ma Dukes, as a lot of people call her, is an icon in New York City and within the NAACP. And she is a woman who epitomizes strength, perseverance, and stick-to-itiveness. And she works so hard every day for her community, for her people, for all of us. And she brings people up with her, and she fights the good fight every day. And during Black History Month, she is one of those people that we just have to hold up and celebrate. And especially because it was just her birthday. And
How old did she turn? Did she say it was significant?
It was up there. It was over 90.
Okay. All right. We'll leave it at over 90. at a certain point, you never ask a woman her age, but at some point, they're so proud of how long they've been on this earth, they tell you.
and she is one of those. But, she is one of those women that is just so beautiful inside and out. She needs to be celebrated every day, and she continues to be celebrated every day. And I just want to let her know, if she listens to this, we love you, Hazel. Black History Month, Women's History Month, your birthday every day is a day to celebrate you. So that's one of the women that I just had to give props to.
We had her on Reaching Out. We were fortunate to have her on Reaching Out during the pandemic, and we spoke about the census, and she was an excellent guest. But let me tell you, in 2013, 2014, we had sued the city for our school safety agents. This is Women's History Month, who are 70% women, mostly minority women, black and brown women. And we had a press conference and a rally in front of City Hall. Hazel Dukes attended that rally. Hazel Dukes spoke on behalf of the men and women, but mostly women of school safety. And she did it on a phone call. She said, I will be there. And she was a strong, and she is a strong supporter of school safety agents. And I could tell you, that's the kind of person that Hazel is. You need her. She will be there for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. She puts herself. It's not just her voice. It's not just her signature. It's herself. She brings it. She will be there at the rallies. Her feet do the walking. She is on the front lines every day. At 90 years old, she is there every day.
So we were talking because we know you have a young daughter, and we won't mention which public school, but you have a young daughter in one of our public schools. And you and I have had conversations about school safety agents, and you were surprised to hear earlier this year that your daughter's school only had one school safety agent. And I was explaining about the city council hearings in the last 2 years, and school safety had become this political pawn in the defund the police movement, which they're part of the police department, but they're not police officers. And the city council and the leadership of Corey Johnson decided that he was not going to hire and fund more school safety agents, which caused a shortage of 2,000 school safety agents in our schools. And to go further, there are some that are trying to eliminate school safety from schools altogether. And since we mentioned school safety, Hazel Dukes, and you and I had a conversation, I want to ask you, what does school safety mean to you as a parent? Because the parents have been left out of this conversation, because the people are having the conversation, they don't have children in New York City public schools. So it's easy for them to say what should be done when they're not a parent and it doesn't affect their children.
Well, at my daughter's school, like so many of the public schools in New York City, there are multiple schools within a school building. And so that means that there are multiple entrances in a school. And multiple exits. And when you've got multiple entrances and exits, that means that all of those entrances and exits have to be manned. And who mans those entrances and exits? But public safety, school safety officers. And there needs to be somebody at all of those entrances to let people in and out. And it's those school safety agents that are the ones that are there signing people in and making sure that the people that belong inside the schools are coming into the schools, and the people that don't belong in there are not coming in. And, to me, they're the first line of defense for our schools from intruders that should not be there. And I'm not talking about kids misbehaving. I'm talking about people that are coming in off of the streets that have ill intentions towards our children. I mean, we hear about horrible things happening in schools all across the country by people that are not, that do not have our children's best interest in mind. They're happening in schools. They're happening in stores. They're happening in all sorts of different places. And if we don't have somebody at our front doors saying that who can come in and who can't come in, we have no idea who is going to be walking in those front doors. And as a parent, it really scares me that we wouldn't know who those people are. I mean, even for those parents, who have custody issues with another parent, or where there are issues with threats of, with orders of restraining orders against other parents, or domestic violence issues, and parents are not allowed or custodians or whatever are not allowed to be seeing children. These are all issues that need to be addressed. And if there's nobody at the front doors of those schools, there are children that could be in jeopardy, or teachers that could be in jeopardy, or faculty or whatever. But I don't know who would be at the, who would be the gatekeepers to these schools if there are not school safety officers there. And I haven't heard those answers yet from anyone that's talking about getting rid of them. I mean, I don't see teachers volunteering to be standing at those front doors during their free periods.
You know, Eleanor, I could say, not only have you not heard those answers, we have not even heard those questions raised. They just forge ahead. And once again, I say the people making these proposals do not have children in the New York City public school system. They are not parents of children who are in the New York City school system. So I would be very careful to take any kind of advice from people who are not parents, who don't have children in those schools. They're not affected.
Yeah, I mean, you know, earlier this year, as you said, we had one school safety officer. And I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she was able to manage three different schools, multiple different doors, signing people in and out, making sure temperatures were taken, making sure that, I mean, there was so much going on. At that point in time, parents weren't, you know, really allowed in the schools unless they had appointments. But, you know, it was a lot to take on. And when you've got, you know, gosh, 800 kids in a building, and I don't know how many members of the faculty and how many paras and how many other staff members, when you've got several different schools, you know, we're talking probably upwards of, you know, 900 people, then, you know, everyone else that has to be coming in and out. That's a lot of people to deal with for one person on a daily basis.
Yes.
And and it's our kids that are at risk. And again, this has nothing to do with policing our children. This has to do with the influx of people coming in and out of a building, period. You know, they do a lot more than, you know, I see them mostly as the front lines to who is coming in and out of a building. They don't have guns.
Don't have mace. No weapon of any kind.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know the relationship that I had with the school safety officers at my daughter's old school. You know, those women cared so much about the kids that they served. And it was all about those children. They knew them all by name. They knew what time they left. They knew who was picking them up. They knew when they were there for too long, and they would ask them, where's your mom today? Where's your grandma? Where's your babysitter? Where's whoever is supposed to pick you up? They cared about them, and they wanted to know why somebody wasn't there to get them. They were looking out for them. So they were more than just somebody that was trying to say, you've done something wrong, because it wasn't about policing them. It was about caring for them. At least that's what I've seen in the experiences that I've had. And in the school that we're in, it's a, you know, it's a Black and Brown community. And these women, all there was love in their hearts for these children. And they worked their tails off. They worked overtime. They were there, you know, from 7:30 in the morning till sometimes 7 o'clock at night, because that's when the kids were there.
And we keep mentioning the women because they are 70% women. I don't know of a workforce that has that many women working in it. Women dominated field. And this is the field that some say they want to get rid of. I mean, when things are done right, it's amazing that people want to mess with it and just do away with it. I mean, what's the incentive for something that's going well to succeed if people want to get rid of it? Are they that successful that we want to get rid of them? You know, I just can't understand that. And the level of complaints and violence is not there with this group. I would know because I represent them. They're cost effective because I don't have to spend a lot of money trying to defend some heinous acts. We don't do that. So in my 28 years of working for the union, did we have that in the past? Yes. When they were with the Board of Education, we had people who were gang members and pedophiles, and they were put in rooms, and it was just an awful situation. When the police department took over in 1998, December 20th, 1998, they got away from that. They weeded them out. They screened them. They properly trained them and disciplined them. And then I started seeing all of our legal problems, all of our disciplinary problems, they started to subside year after year. The amount of cases, disciplinary cases, went down. And I could tell you, do we have investigations? Yes, but they investigated. But I mean, I saw the tremendous improvement from December 20th, 1998 to present, and the different type of person we have working in school safety. We do have the mothers. We do have the caring aunts and grandmothers working in school safety. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to represent them.
And I've seen these women, you know, range in ages and ethnicities and in times of their lives. And yes, they are mothers. They are grandmothers. They are young. They are older. But they all have one thing in common, and that is that they really care about the kids that they serve. And I say serve because I mean serve, because they really believe that that is their job. And again, I can only speak for those that I've met. But those that I've met really do care. As I was saying to you earlier, in my daughter's elementary school, they used to do a simulation of a post office. My daughter, everyone used to write letters to folks in the school, whether it was their friends or their teachers. But my daughter wrote a letter to Miss Jackson, who was one of the school safety agents. And she wrote to her and told her how much she appreciated her and how much she appreciated everything that she did for them every single day. And she just highlighted that, because she realized that she was there for her every single day, a big smile and a friendly hello when she walked into the door and when she left every day. And, that school safety agent knew when a kid was down or when a kid was happy. They knew their triumphs and their successes, and knew every kid. And was a welcome face every morning. And that's something special. And when you have those people that know your kids that well, just from seeing them every morning, every day for several years, that's something that you look forward to having, and that they know and they look out for your child. And I'm not really sure why some people think that's necessary to get rid of.
Yeah, it's unclear to me also. And as I said, the individuals, for whatever political reasons they want to do that, they don't have children in New York City public schools. So they all know the school safety agents the way parents know the school safety agents. And there aren't parents that are really calling for the elimination of school safety agents. In the beginning of the school year, parents are calling for more school safety, And during the pandemic, things kind of got lost and people and parents weren't paying attention to what the city, some people in the city were trying to do, but they were outraged and they spoke out against it. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, during the pandemic, you know, when kids were not in school, when school was remote, there was not a need for school safety agents the same way because there were no, there weren't people in the buildings.
Right.
You know, when there's no one in the building, is there a need for school safety agents? Well, if they are keeping the buildings open so that people can come in and out, yes. If the buildings are closed, then no. But when the kids are back in school, is there a need for them? Absolutely. You know, you've got to have somebody making sure that people that are supposed to be in the buildings are there and the people that are not supposed to be there are not there.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Flory, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With me, our very special guest once again is Eleanor Tatum, the publisher of the world-renowned New York Amsterdam News. Last topic. You have made cutting-edge changes in the Amsterdam News. What other initiatives are you planning? Tell us some of those changes.
Well, you know, we just relaunched our website. I mean, it never stopped being out there, but we have a brand new website that is out there, www.amsterdamnews.com. And then we've got a new daily newsletter that comes out 5 days a week called Editorially Black, which is phenomenal, if I do say so myself. So if you go to our website, you can sign up for our newsletter, which will come into your inbox every morning. And then you can also get, you can see our e-edition online, which is a replica edition of the newspaper. And so we've got some great things happening. And, you know, we're really upping our digital game as well as our, we've got an investigative reporting unit that has now started called Blacklight as well. And so we're doing some really exciting things. And we really, are turning a page and looking at journalism in a new way. We've got more reporters. We're working with Report for America. We've got one Report for America core member right now, and we'll be getting another one in June. And so we're expanding our staff. We made it through COVID, which is a lot more than a lot of other newspapers can say right now. So we're coming out with new products. We're expanding our reporter pool. We've got an investigative unit, and you know we want you all to join us and to read the newspaper and to subscribe to the newspaper, subscribe to our newsletter, and be part of the Amsterdam News family. You know, it's got a lot of information. It's got a lot of news that you can use. And it's the heartbeat of our community. And we all need each other now, you know, more than ever. Because if we don't stand up and talk about the issues that are affecting us, nobody else is doing it the same way. We have to fight for each other.
I could tell you last thing, we got a minute, that my father, when I was 7 years old, my father used to send me to the corner store to get the Amsterdam News every week. It was two papers he wanted me to get them. The Amsterdam News and the Chief. And I think that there was a Leader. The Chief and Leader were separate papers. So I used to get three papers religiously. The Amsterdam News, the Chief, and the Leader. I remember those papers.
Well, we've got to keep newspapers flowing. Thank you so much for inviting me today. I'm so glad to be with you.
You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Flory, president of Local 237 Teamsters. Our very special guest once again was Eleanor Tatum, the publisher, the editor-in-chief of the New York Amsterdam News. Thank you very much for coming on and talking about your historic paper.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.